Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 114 of Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson. Today we have two regular segments for you and then a bonus segment. Kicking the show off, Alex, Danny, and Josh talk all about the future of the Wii U in light of the dismal sales information from last week. After that, Josh, Kim, and Becky return for another installment of Name That Pokemon. And after the outro, myself, JP, and Donald talk about the NHL season so far and the start of 24/7 Road to the Winter Classic on HBO. Enjoy.
Hey everybody, Alex Kalafi here, and today we are going to be discussing the future of the Wii U. Joining me for this discussion is Josh Max.
Hey everybody, how are you?
We also got Danny Bivens, our Japanese correspondent.
Hello.
So, today's discussion is going to be about the Wii U.
Whoa, hold up. We're not talking about Pokemon?
We talk about Pokemon too often, and by that I mean we did a couple segments a few months ago.
Well, hey, you know, Josh is, you know, leading the game show and stuff, which I think is great. And, yeah, every time I hear Josh Max's voice, I think Pokemon stuff. So I can imagine listeners maybe being a little confused.
And you know what? Even though this has nothing to do with Pokemon, we are probably going to be talking about Pokemon during it.
Oh, I intend to, although I probably won't be yelling as much as I do during the game show segments.
So, we are going to be talking about the situation of the Wii U. As you may have heard on this show, as you may have heard on RFN, the Wii U is not doing so hot right now. And by not so hot right now, I mean the Wii U is selling like absolute garbage. There is no getting around that. If it's not a failure yet, it's on its way towards being a failure. And now that I've gotten that out of the way, this segment will not be about that. What we're going to be talking about is the future of the Wii U. We know it's failing right now. We know it's not doing well right now. What we're going to do is we're going to speculate on the near future, the distant future, and maybe what we're going to do to fix it. So to start this out, I am going to talk about next spring. We got Mario Kart, and we got Donkey Kong Country Returns, Tropical Freeze. Josh,
yeah,
what do you think they're going to do in the immediate future? Because they gotta know the Wii U is not doing so hot right now. Do you think they're just going to coast through this quarter, aloof of the situation, they're just gonna release a couple games and see where the chips land? Or do you think they're going to be taking action very soon?
Well, here's the thing about our beloved Nintendo, is that sometimes I think that they are the dumbest people who could ever be put in charge of a company.
Absolutely.
But then they always prove me wrong. Because, like, I bought 3DS day one, and I immediately, like, I loved it. It was amazing. And then a week later, I regretted the decision. I'm like, this system is garbage. It's going to die out. And they're just going to release what I thought was, like, a 2DS, like, 2 months in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what happened, obviously. They had the ambassador program. They had a huge stream of just great games for the 3DS come out. Granted, they held most of their, like, major titles back, I think a year or two, for the 3DS. But, you know, now we have the eShop. Now we have, the new Pokemon game is for 3DS. So the 3DS made a giant turnaround when it was a failure when it first came out, if I remember correctly. And then, you know, ambassador program, price drop, it did amazing. And it's still strong.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess to counter that point, I would like to say that I think the 3DS's problems were a lot more clear. The problems was that it was a $250 handheld system and no one wanted to spend that money. And it did not have any games at launch until basically Mario Kart and Mario. And once they had the games and once they had the low cost, the $170 or whatever it was, people started buying, and now it is an extremely popular console. The Wii U's issues, I think, go a little deeper than that. I think the Wii U's issues go into not only price, but also, and not only games, but the messaging is kind of screwed up.
I mean, but it came from a rough household. Its parents never listened to him. We gotta give him time. He's still new.
And there's no reason right now why a mass market would want this. And I think that's the biggest problem. Nintendo doesn't have that one thing with the Wii U for a mass market to latch onto. There, even if you love 3D World, it's not this groundbreaking, incredible, super refreshing game. It is a great Mario game. There is a great remake of a Zelda game. There's a great new Super Mario Bros. Game. And this hardware is well designed and it's in HD, but it doesn't do that much crazy and incredible and revolutionary like the Wii did when it came out.
Yeah, but like, goodness, I'm hesitant to start this so early. What, we're like 5 minutes in? And you know what?
Let's just go into it.
Here's the thing. If Nintendo decided one day, they went, oh, this is doing really badly, man, maybe we should do something about it. Yeah, dude. I'm thinking Pokemon Wii U. Done. It would sell out like hotcakes. I'm bringing Pokemon in 5 minutes in. I don't give a shit. Deal with it. Pokemon! Yeah, but seriously, like, the 3DS and 2DS sales, you know, skyrocketed when when Pokemon X and Y came out, and I'm sure that if they made a Pokemon game, not just, like, Gale or XD or whatever, or Colosseum, if they made a legitimate, like, Pokemon game for the Wii
Game Freak in-house?
I'm sorry?
Game Freak in-house?
Yeah. Exactly. If Game Freak was like, yo, okay, our next Pokemon iteration is going to be, Pokemon Z is going to be for Wii U. It's going to be the same game with better graphics on the Wii U. Wii U would be saved. Like, it's never going to happen, but.
Danny, what do you think about the immediate spring situation? Do you think they're going to keep coasting, or do you think they're going to start taking action?
You know, it seems to me, and I know a lot of people probably think this too, but it seems like NCL is just aloof to everything. Like, this latest Nintendo Direct, I almost expected Iwata to come out and say, look, guys, we fucked up, and then, you know, do something great. But it just seemed to me, he's just like, hey, here's all this stuff that you know it's coming pretty much anyways, with the exception of, you know, NES Remix. And, you know, it's just like, hey, we're going to just kind of coast through for the next couple of months. Maybe they'll announce something crazy, you know, in the spring. But, just given the time that they've had, there's just not enough time to have anything probably, you know what I'm saying, have anything probably that's going to be out in the spring or summer that's going to just make people want this system. It's just, yeah, I really, aside from maybe some kind of a Pokemon, which would definitely give the system a boost, I really don't see a lot at this point that can really turn it around.
So, if you don't think it's going to happen in spring, when do you think they will make their drastic move? Because they are Nintendo, they will do something drastic when they feel like they're incredibly backed into a corner, whether it be the ambassador program, or doing an $80 price cut, or whatever it was. When do you think Nintendo makes its drastic move, if not now? Or do you think they're just going to let the Wii U slowly coast for a few years, and then introduce the new platform eventually?
I really hope that they see these abysmal sale numbers and just be like, look, we need to do something with this price at least, I guess, to like kind of find a way to entice people if you don't have the software. You know, cut it by, I don't know, 50, 80 bucks, whatever. And hopefully do that by sometime, you know, in the spring or summer. You mentioned some kind of an ambassador thing. I mean, that'd be something, that'd be a good idea to get out before the holiday season, before it's just out of people's minds and people are just too busy with, you know, PS4 or Xbox Ones.
But I think we're assuming that like Nintendo doesn't really care, but like, I mean, they have a whole division that just tracks these numbers, and it's not like they're going, sir, you gotta see these numbers, they're terrible. And just like, you know, the head of that division is just taking off his sunglasses, his Hawaiian shirts on, and he's just going, hey baby, let's just ride it out, baby. Let's just ride it out, man. It's going to be awesome.
Is this a Japanese person?
Yeah.
Has to be.
He's speaking English. He doesn't give a shit. He's just going, hey, babe. How you doing? And he's like, so I can't flirt right now. We have these numbers. We're doing terribly. Baby, the Wii U is going to be fine. Just keep doing what we're doing. I mean, but they're like, that's not what they're doing. As funny and as amazing as that would be. If I found out that guy was working for Nintendo, all of my paychecks would go straight to that guy. But, sorry, let's get back to the topic.
Well, I don't think anyone is suggesting Nintendo doesn't care. This is their flagship platform, even though Some 3DS owners would say otherwise. This is their main system, regardless of how it's selling. And I think they do care. I just wonder if they understand how desperate the situation is.
Actually,
or you know what? They know better than I do. I wonder if they do think it's desperate.
I'm not sure if you realize this, but I actually, you're saying that, yeah, the Wii U is their flagship, like, yeah, traditionally, but in the sales sense, and in game-wise, at least at the moment, the 3DS might be their flagship system right now.
Well, it's the one that's making the money.
But it's also
the wealth.
There's the most of them in people's homes, granted, because it came out before the Wii U, but it's also, you know, it's like, when it comes to mobile gaming, like, you know, yeah, iPhones and Androids are like, you know, they're probably number one just by sheer numbers, but, you know, 3DS comes in second, like, above, Vita's above everything else. And that's Nintendo, and everyone knows that you can play a Zelda game, you can do Phoenix Wright, you can get Mario, you can get Pokemon, you can get all those games, Castlevania, all in the 3DS. And especially with the eShop, now you have, you know, Mega Man, Sonic, and all that stuff. So actually, I don't know, maybe the 3DS is like, I don't know, it kind of stands out a little bit more at the moment.
Well, it obviously does because more people own it. I mean, I guess I've always been under the impression that the main system is the one that probably took more money, like they've put more money into, and the one that you plug into your TV. But I guess maybe the breadwinner is the main console, regardless of whether you hold it in your hands or you plug it in.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, even just from the company, I mean, you know, they're a Japanese company, and they obviously think a lot about, you know, every region, but it seems to me Nintendo thinks primarily about Japan with a lot of stuff. And all of their decisions that come down the line, you know, Reggie or whoever else is, you know, has to deal with that. I mean, they have no control over it. It's just NCL saying, look, this is what we got, make it work. And I mean, that can be pretty difficult for different regions and stuff, but yeah, I don't know. I think in that sense, I mean, Nintendo, especially with a lot of the games that they've been releasing lately, a lot of like really good games, you know, on 3DS from them and also from third parties and stuff like that. I don't know. It makes me think that they kind of focus a little bit more on the 3DS, not to say that they're just giving up or just completely abandoning Wii U, but I don't know. There's just a lot more potential there for them, I guess.
Well, I also kind of want to bring up third parties for a second, if that's okay. Like, I know, like, you know, we're keeping it positive, we're keeping it light, we're keeping it fresh, funky fresh here at the spring formal. Winter formal, I got my messed up. Back to the point. But, like, PS3, Sony just took every indie developer to bed and said, I'm going to treat you like a goddamn princess that I know you are. And, like, Nintendo stood up and took note. Like, they're trying really hard with the third parties. And, like, so we know that they're currently working with third parties. So maybe the Wii U renaissance is around the corner, but nobody knows it yet because everything's in such early development that Nintendo doesn't want to, like, spoil anything yet.
Well, I think you should look at the numbers for the latest Call of Duty game and
the
latest Assassin's Creed game. And I could absolutely be wrong, but if I remember correctly, Wii U, the percentage of copies that Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty sold that were on the Wii U were in the single digits. The low single digits, I think.
No, I'm talking exclusive third-party content.
Oh, you mean like Sonic?
Yeah, I'm talking like, you know, like Lost World, but like, you know,
yeah,
not Lost World.
And Lost World was alright.
Well, but like for instance, Danny, you just played the new Attack on Titan game, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I totally envy you for that for so many reasons, but we'll get on that later. But like, that's just for 3DS, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, you know, like I know Shonen Jump does a lot of stuff with Nintendo, because they're both in the same, like, they're the same, whatchamacallit, demographics. So, but I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that they should do, like, licensing movies as games and stuff. I'm just saying that, you know, like, video, like, whatchamacallit, Microsoft and Nintendo have taken notice of what Sony's been doing. Because Sony goes, hey, we've got Journey and Shadow of the Colossus, and you guys will never touch that. You know what I mean? And I'm saying, maybe, it's impossible to ignore. So I'm hoping, and I'm fairly positive that Nintendo will bring this giant wave, not even giant wave, maybe just a splash of some really good indie developers who go, hey, We want to work on the Wii U. We want, you know what? We'll treat ourselves like princesses and pretend that you did this for us. Just comb our hair in the morning. Just do that, and we'll say that you did all of it.
All right, so next up, we got the 2014 and 2015 games that I wanted to talk about. The stuff that comes out after Mario Kart and Donkey Kong. Right now in the pipeline, you got the Mario Kart, you got Donkey Kong, but you also have Smash Bros., you have the upcoming Zelda, which is probably 2015, you got X, you got Yoshi Yarn, you got Shin Megami Tensei, Crossfire Emblem, you got Hyrule Warriors, and you probably also have whatever Miyamoto's new IP is, assuming it's a Wii U game. Will these ignite excitement in the platform, or are Wii U's problems too mired in messaging and a lack of consumer excitement for them to do anything? Are games the main issue, or does it go deeper than that? Do you think Smash Bros. And Zelda could bring the Wii U at least closer to where it needs to be?
Yes, 100% yes. After I was at work, so I was unable to watch Nintendo Direct, but I had a friend who was at work. He is not on a Wii U, but he immediately texted me Hyrule Warriors. That's what it's called, right? I'm not crazy?
Yeah, but that's the Dynasty Warriors crossover.
Yeah, well, I mean, he texted me that, and he's like immediately like, I need to get a Wii U. So I 100% believe that that Zelda, the Hyrule Warriors, Dynasty Warriors, or just the new Zelda in general can breathe life into it. It may just take
a while.
What?
How much life?
Well, I would say like a half breath.
Yeah.
Like a, and then it would be like, yo, I'm feeling jiggly. Like I'm doing kind of a Kramer thing with his hands. The Wii U, who is now a guy in my mind. Guys, I might be crazy. I don't know why I'm doing podcasts.
You know what? You have a point. I think that Zelda and Smash Bros., regardless of how good they end up being, they are going to do something for the Wii U.
I'm not saying Smash Bros.
You aren't.
I'm not, because like I have a 3DS, and like I love the 3DS to the moon back. But like I was gonna get a Wii U for, I still don't have a Wii U because I'm poor. But okay. I was gonna get a Wii U for Smash Brothers, and then you know at the end of the trailer it announced you know 3DS, and now I'm like I might be able to hold off like a little bit longer.
Yeah, the Wii U version is probably going to come out first, though.
Yeah, it's probably going to come out first. It's going to have more content. It's going to look better. It's going to have, like, a lot. It's just going to be a overall better game for very obvious reasons. It's a console game, not supposed to be handheld. But I still think that people, 3DS owners who can't afford or just don't care to buy a Wii U are going to hold out because, like, I do not believe Smash Bros. Is going to breathe as much life as a Wii Zelda title will, because the main reason is because the console Zeldas are very, very different from the handheld Zeldas. It would be almost impossible to put them side by side, or to put them in the same realm, because I've played Zelda games on a big screen, and it's like, it feels weird, to be honest.
So, what say you, Danny? Do you agree that Zelda, and maybe not Smash Bros., is enough to breathe life into the Wii U, or do you look at the Mario 3D World sales and see that it has a low install base even compared to Mario games on other platforms proportionally? And do you think that it goes deeper than games?
You know, I think Josh made a really good point about, you know, Smash Brothers and how, you know, yeah, there could be two versions of this game. They're going to be slightly different, but, you know, they're going to be similar enough where if people have a 3DS and don't have a Wii U, they might think to themselves, why do I need to spend, you know, $300, $350 or whatever to get a console in this game when I could just spend, you know, I don't know, $40 and just get the game on 3DS and it's good enough. I think that's going to be maybe a bit of a problem for people. And I think that a lot of people that, you know, have Wii Us, Nintendo fans that have them now, I mean, you know, maybe they'll go one way or the other. I don't think there's going to be tons of people getting both versions, aside from maybe people like me, because I'm a fucking idiot. But, you know, and then it goes, then you know, to Hyrule Warriors. I think, people that have Wii U again, maybe they'll see that and be like, oh, that's cool. It's a game to play on Wii U. It's Zelda and it's, you know, Dynasty Warriors. It's kind of a cool mix, you know. I think some people will, you know, bite on that, but I don't think there are too many people sitting around maybe saying, oh my God, I'm going to get a Wii U now because of that. I don't know. You got to have something that packs a little bit more punch because it's, even right now, Nintendo fans that have these things aren't even buying all the games that comes out for them that are, you know, big marquee titles. So I think this is a situation that this problem will kind of persist until it is to have some kind of a huge game that says, hey, this is going to make me want to buy this system. And I think that game could be Zelda, like a traditional Zelda on Wii U. But then again, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if people even care anymore if it takes too long for that to get out.
So it seems like you guys are, among other things, you're suggesting the main issue is games. It needs, once it has a lot of games and once it has a lot of great games, the Wii U will rise from its situation, and even if it doesn't become the Wii, it will become some kind of success. Does that sound roughly accurate?
Yeah, I don't think that Nintendo needs to go above and beyond with the Wii U and be like how Xbox was like, voice controls. Like, I don't think that they need that gimmick anymore because they had that with the Wii. Like, now they're like, we're focusing on the games. They straight up said that pretty much verbatim, if I recall correctly. They said, we're all about the games now. Then, yeah, they made a great system. Now work on the games.
And Danny, would you agree with that?
I think to an extent. I think more they need to show people the functionality of Wii U, why this is necessary, why they should get this as opposed to another next-generation console, or just skip out altogether. Because, quite frankly, they're not really doing much, you know, with the touchscreen stuff. They're not doing anything with NFC. Make people want this console, you know, with showing off what this thing could do. Because it's a really capable system. There's a lot of cool stuff about it, and it's just not being, you know, fully taken advantage of.
I think it's interesting that one of the points you make is that making people aware of what the Wii U is. And I think it goes a little deeper than that, because Nintendo has this new commercial or video sort of doing an overview of what the Wii U is. It is December of 2013, and they just put out a video detailing what the Wii U is. And not only that, not only is it happening now, but I also have this booklet that originally came from Best Buy in my room that it's sort of one of those holiday gift catalogs for the Wii U. This was around the spring, I think, it came out, which is sort of weird because it is a holiday catalog. It showcased, like, the Wonderful 101, Game & Wario. And one of the big points they tried to drive home is, this is a new console. This is what it does. I think they're trying to make people know that it is a new console. And I think a lot of people know it's a new console. I think a lot of people know exactly what the Wii U is. I think the problem is that for whatever reason, people just don't want it. I don't know. Do either of you see what I'm talking about?
No, absolutely. I mean, this past year has just been kind of a shitty, a lot of this, like, kind of underwhelming releases. I mean, things that you would think that Nintendo fans should be excited about, or then maybe some of these games just missed the mark, like, you know, Wario. I mean, you know, it just kind of got mediocre reviews across the board, and it didn't really sell very well. Wonderful 101 sold like crap, and just not a lot of interest was really garnered with that. And obviously part of that has to do with, you know, the install base, but I don't know. It's just, even hardcore fans like me, I saw that and I was like, that's cool, but I don't want to spend, you know, $60 on this because I'm not sold, you know? And I think that's a bit of a problem too.
Like, I played Wonderful 101, and I think Wonderful 101 is wonderful. Lol. But I saw a little bit of it because, you know, we work on the site, so we're gonna, like, the three of us are gonna, among other people, are going to see all the games that are coming out, whether we want to or not. I talked about it to my friends after I played it, and they had no idea that it was even a thing. They had not heard about it. It'd been out for, like, you know, a month or two, and they were like, that game sounds really cool. I wish I had known about it. And I live in New York. Like, I live in Brooklyn, and I work in Manhattan, and I I didn't see anything on any like payphones and any like, you know, bus stations or anything. Like, that's where you're going to get a lot of people to look at your game. And I'm not seeing any ads for any Nintendo games at all.
Well, they have them for Mario 3D World over here. They have been running commercials on TV that I've seen once in a while.
Oh, I don't have cable.
I think... I don't think a lot of people do. But it's just watching these games come out, just seeing these games and seeing what these games are. Even if you are one of these Nintendo fans who really loves Mario 3D World, you think it's a 10 out of 10 game, it is still the sequel to a game we've seen before. It's core concepts we've seen before. Most of its main features are just features from other Mario games like the multiplayer that are repurposed into 3D. Even if Nintendo has a lot of good games, it doesn't have any games right now, in my opinion, that are amazing, that are wow, that are console sellers. There are a lot of sequels, there are a lot of games like Donkey Kong, and Donkey Kong Country Returns, one of my favorite platformers. This is a sequel to Donkey Kong Country Returns. It has a few new things, but it's still very much the same game. And I think that's what we're seeing on the Wii U right now. We are seeing a lot more of the same. We are seeing a lot of games developed in 2 to 3 years to be pushed out so the Wii doesn't have no library. The library is concerning to me as a Nintendo fan, because the reason why I come to Nintendo is to play new experiences I have never seen before, and I don't think the Wii U has anything like that right now.
Guys, this just got sad.
All right, so let's move on to a brighter topic.
Pokemon.
Something even brighter.
Attack on Titan.
Even better than that.
Sex. Kalafi, did you get laid? Did you get laid?
The next topic. What does Nintendo do if Smash, Zelda, and Mario Kart fail? Do they coast until 2016 and introduce a new platform, or do they cut their losses and stop active development on the platform?
They're not gonna
What stop. Is the worst case scenario here, Danny?
Give up.
What about you, Josh?
They're never going to give up. That's the thing. They've invested too much time and money. Nintendo is a multi-million dollar corporation, and no one in their goddamn mind would go, oh, I mean, it's not doing so well. Let's cut our losses and run. No, they're going to keep flushing money down it if it's terrible. Like, this is a big if, which I honestly don't believe that it will happen. But if the Zelda's shit, if Smash Brothers is shit, if every single game that comes out on the Wii U is shit, they're going to keep making shitty games. Because they're just going to keep hoping that Madagascar 4, the video game, is going to be the thing that really turns it around.
So you think they're just going to be the captain going down with the ship? And they won't go down if the Wii U becomes a total failure. They have plenty of Wii money to turn into a new console and try it.
They also are getting consistently great money from 3DS sales. And if that happens, they're going to keep plugging away with Wii U, but they're going to plug even harder with the 3DS. And they're going to make the 3DS their flagship handheld thing.
Yeah, unless they do something absolutely horrific, Nintendo won't be destroyed by the Wii U, regardless of what happens.
Exactly.
But I just think the situation is interesting. If Nintendo has all these promises, if Nintendo tries to drop the price, if Nintendo tries to throw all these games out, and it just doesn't work. What do you think, Danny?
I mean, like I said, yeah, giving up, I could see them maybe doing that. Not just like, fuck it, you know, just like in like after next fall or something. But, you know, it's kind of like a gradual pullback. And then, you know, honestly, with the way kind of the Wii U is going, I don't see how Nintendo would want to make another traditional home console, you know. And I think I've heard this on other podcasts and stuff before, and I perfectly agree. I mean, they're probably dumping money now into making something that's kind of like a hybrid handheld home type of console type of deal.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that. I've spent many hours imagining what that has looked like.
Yeah. I mean, I have no idea how they would design the hardware, but, you know, with kind of the way things are in Japan and just kind of just the way the industry is in general, I could see that being a really, you know, attractive device for Nintendo to make, because, you know, a lot of people want to carry their Nintendo stuff around all over the place, but they still at the same time want to play this crap on the TV in HD. So I think it'd be kind of like a perfect mix for them to kind of go that route, do that type of thing.
I was also I was listening to the podcast called it's the Doddcast with Pete Dodd. He was talking about the Wii U situation, and he made this really great point where he said, even if the Wii U situation doesn't improve, Nintendo is not going to give up on it in 2015. They're not just going to drop it. Because even if you think the Wii U, they should just cut their losses, imagine how much trust would be broken of Nintendo of a company if they just destroyed their system to cut their losses. Because if they do that, think of all the people, and you know what, I would be among them, who would say, Nintendo, they gave up on their old console, why should I even buy the one they do next? So I think, regardless of whatever happens, and I think the worst case scenario is, it kind of fails, but it still gets some good games, is, I think the worst case scenario is, they do, using this word once again, coast for a while. They do what they can, they try to make as much money as possible, and if it doesn't work, they just try something else. Alright, so the final question. Something that is actually potentially a positive thing. Josh, what do you think of the Wii U? Especially from the perspective of someone on the staff of Nintendo World Report who does not actually own one yet. And that is not a slight at you. There are other people on staff who justifiably do not own the system yet.
Yeah, but my excuse is that I'm shitty at my job. what do I think of the Wii U? God, put me on the spot here. Johnny on the spot. It's an attractive system that I very much want because, I have a scared view because I've played a lot of Wii U games before they even came out. I would very much like one, but as of this moment, getting both the Wii U and the games is out of my price range, and I would much rather spend that money on games for the system that I currently have, more so than buying a new one. And I further support that with, I have a PS3, it's the last system I bought, I bought it like 2 years ago, but I haven't bought a game for that in months, but I just bought I haven't bought a PS3 game since the summer, but I bought a new 3DS game like a month ago. So essentially I would like a Wii U, but 3DS is more appealing and it's something that I already have and I'm already familiar with.
And I don't blame you because the Wii U is $300 right now. You buy that, you get the box. With $300 on 3DS, you could get 7 brand new retail games and then a $20 title on top of that. So just wanting to play more video games, if that's what you're in for, yeah, I think you're doing totally the right move. Danny, what do you think of the Wii U?
You know, I think it's a fun system. There's some decent games on it, and there's some really cool games coming out in the future, like, you know, X and, you know, the inevitable new traditional Legend of Zelda, stuff like that. Things that we know are gonna be awesome. And even among, like, some of the titles that are out now, I mean, 3D World's great, you know, Wind Waker HD is really cool, and, you know, NES Remix is just a blast, you know? So, I mean, I'm not saying I don't like my Wii U. I definitely play, like, my 3DS, you know, probably a lot more than my Wii U, but, I mean, there's a lot of fun to be had on the system still.
I like the Wii U, too. Even if I do sound kind of grumpy, even though I did get you guys together to talk about this discussion of what happens if the Wii U fails, I do like the system. I love NES Remix. Since it came out on Wednesday, I dropped over 17 hours in it, 3-starring everything. I like Wind Waker HD. I dropped 30 hours into that. I really like New Super Mario Bros. I really like Pikmin. There's a lot of good games on it I like right now. And like X, like Smash Bros., like Donkey Kong, like a traditional Zelda. There's stuff I'm looking forward to right now. But I'm also bummed out at where the Wii U is, because I think it's in a really bad financial place. And even worse, I don't think the consumers can be blamed. I think where the Wii U is, honestly, probably 100% Nintendo's fault. Whether it comes to messaging, whether it comes to marketing, whether it comes to getting out amazing games that remind people of why they love Nintendo so much. I think it's kind of sad that the Wii U is where it is, but there's no one else to blame but Nintendo. And I really, really hope, and the reason why I even pulled this segment together is because I really, really hope that Nintendo realizes the solution to make everyone happy, to make them happy, to make their investors happy, to make the people who bought the system happy, to make potential system owners happy. I want them to find that solution. I want Nintendo to be successful, and I also want Nintendo to earn that success. And I don't know if that's too much to ask. I hope it isn't.
It doesn't seem like it's too much to ask, and I'm in the same boat as you, man.
Both sound like dads.
I take that as a compliment. All right. That'll do it for this topic. I want to thank you, Josh and Danny, for joining me. This was a fun segment, despite how depressing it was. I am glad we got to talk about things like Pokemon, even though this is not a Pokemon segment. And you know what? If you like this segment, if you want to hear more about the Wii U, I recommend you listen to the previous episode where I believe a handful of people talked about the Wii U situation. I want you to listen to the very cathartic RFN segment where they talk about the Wii U. And if you think I am being, I think the popular words right now are dramatic and hyperbolic, I want you to continue thinking that. And I want you to continue thinking that because I want you to be there for Nintendo. I want you to be the ones who believe in Nintendo regardless. Because with the Wii U situation right now, I'm having a tough time. I am having a really tough time, even though I want the best for Nintendo. So please keep believing in Nintendo. Please keep saying nay to the naysayers. And have a very good week. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So it's your turn.
My turn?
You have to spin the spinner.
Oh. Wait, are we playing dreidel?
No, we're playing life.
This is real life.
This is real life. You have to spin the spinner to find out whether you're going to actually get to graduating college, finally.
Oh, finally. It's only been like 20 years of this game. Are we expecting Josh?
I don't know. Okay. Well, that's the reason I brought the board game. He didn't say.
Okay.
Hello, ladies.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Why are you guys behind us like that?
I see you're playing another game.
No, we're not. No, we were just looking at it.
If I recall the contracts I've written up correctly.
I signed a contract?
You swore off all other games.
Why did I sign that? Oh, my God, that's my signature.
Oh, God. I think I've been drugged. and forced to sign a contract. What?
It's time for everyone's favorite fun time Nintendo World Report game show. Name that
Pokemon.
That sounds ominous.
Well, you all know the rules. I'll flip a coin. Somebody will go first. Somebody will go second. First 1 to 10 points wins. And as always, you know, after 5 points, you get that power up. And if you piss me off, well, you'll face the wrath of Josh. Like 1,000 arms of Arceus, my vengeance shall rain down upon you.
That's different.
I'm terrified.
Yeah, so don't cross me.
All right, you ladies ready?
Yes.
Sure.
Becky, are you ready?
Yes, just don't kill me, please.
Oh, well, we'll see what happens. Okay. Maybe you'll have to play a new game of life.
Might need to write my will.
That was,
Kim?
Ah!
That was a bad pun.
All right, since Kim just insulted me, Becky, call it.
How about heads?
It's tails.
Damn,
go first.
5.
Well, I didn't tell you how many I have. I only 5. Have 2 Pokemon on the board, so...
How are we supposed to get to 10 with just 2?
5.
2 Pokemon on the board, Kim. Choose 1 or 2.
5.
All right, we're choosing number 1. It lives a solitary life. Its wings deliver wicked blows that can snap even the thickest of trees.
Wait, which Pokemon are we doing again? Did you say?
We're doing Sinnoh!
Oh, okay.
It's the kind of stuff you get when you play other games.
Okay, is it...
You lose your focus.
Is it Primplup?
It is Primplup! Oh. I think you're cheating, Kim. I already think you're cheating.
You just have no faith in me. You know, you asked me on this game for a reason.
Yeah, because I thought you'd be fun cannon fodder for Becky.
Turns out it's the other way around.
Did you not realize this has just basically been a vehicle for Becky to show off how smart she is at Pokemon? Kim, get your shit together.
Okay.
All right, Becky, come on.
Come on down, Becky.
Prove why you're on this podcast.
What?
Pick a number. Prove why you're here.
Do I get to pick any number?
Well, I only have 5 Pokemon on the board, so...
5!
Which one?
5.
All right. Love. Got 5. I love how I can barely hear you. You're 5 feet away from me. I can barely hear you. Oh, I love the acoustics in here. All right. The line running down its side can store sunlight. It shines vividly at night.
The line running... What? Oh, geez.
The line running down its side can store sunlight. It shines vividly at night.
Crap. I'm already failing.
It's not crabs. I'll tell you that right now. Not crabby.
I wasn't guessing crabby. Oh god, wait. I'm trying to think. Would it be a grass type or would it be anything else? But I had an idea, but now I'm like, is it a grass type? I don't know. Is it Barbaroche? Wait, no,
Barbaroche? It's not Barbaros!
Oh.
It's a dirty Pokemon. Dirty, ugly Pokemon. Kim knows all about those dirty, ugly Pokemon. Speaking of which, Kim!
Yes!
You gonna backtalk me anymore?
No.
The answer I like to hear. The more we play this game, the more I realize this is a very unbalanced relationship between the three of us.
Courtesy of you.
Kim, did I ask for your input?
Did I ask
for your input?
You insinuated an asking type of phrase.
Kim, just fucking answer the question.
You
don't fucking question me. Do you got guts? Or will you answer the question?
You have to give her the question first.
Yeah.
Kind of holding on to that.
Okay,
after long exposure to sunlight, the patterns on its tail fins shine vividly when darkness arrives.
Okay, so it is a water type.
So it looks like a fish, apparently.
It's apparently a fish.
Is it Lumineon? Lumineon?
It's not Lumineon!
Lumineon.
Becky, back to you. Swimming and fluttering its 2 tail fins, it looks like a beautifly. At night, the pattern on its tail fins softly shine.
Is it Finneon, then?
It is Finneon! Kim.
I was so close.
Because it's got... You were, actually.
Kim, it's 1-1.
That whole stupid evolution thing. Gosh.
I've got 35 Pokemon on the board.
5.
5? Well, no, you can't choose 5. You already picked 5.
I picked 5.
I thought it was... Okay.
You tried to pick
15!
15? Can't pick 15. I'm going to pick 1 for you. How about number
23?
Aw.
Taking the power, I gave you all that power, taking it right out of your hands. Now this Pokemon observes prey while hanging inverted from branches. When the chance presents itself, it swoops.
Oh, man, I was thinking one thing, and then you said swoops, and I'm like, that doesn't fit what I was thinking.
No, it's not Bulbasaur. Get your shit together, Kim.
What?
Name that fucking Pokemon.
That is you try. So wrong. That's so... Why would I...
It's one of my favorites.
Well, you didn't tell me your favorites of Sinnoh.
That's should true. Know me better than that, Kim.
I'm like, I know his favorite from Johto.
Scizor.
Yeah, see, I knew that one.
Yeah, everyone knows that about him.
Well, now they do. Gosh. Now they
do. Okay, swoopin' Pokemon.
Yeah, the ones.
Is it Gligar?
Gligar is not from this generation.
No, it's not. It's you're from right. Johto.
So you're wrong.
Wait, can I get a different guess then?
Nope. Becky, it's no. Your turn.
No.
It dances silently through the sky. When it approaches prey, it can land a critical hit in an instant.
I believe the evolution is from Sinnoh, so is it Gliscor?
It is Gliscor!
Gliscor. Something
stupid
like
evolution
that.
Dingies crossing
Kim,
the generations.
Gligar,
okay,
Gligar
wait a minute.
Definitely from Johto. I definitely went over it last time.
I believe you. I just was thinking, you know, I was on the right track though. Come on. You can't do
right,
it.
She was.
Becky, can you put in your headphones for a second?
Okay.
Listen to some of that boy band stuff you love so much. Thanks. All right, Kim, can you come over here for a second?
I don't want to.
Kim?
I'd like to stay behind my podium, please.
Kim, I'll walk over to you. Kim? Come here, Kim. Yeah. Stop fucking around. It's rookie move. It's a rookie move. Rookie mistake, all right?
I can't take you seriously with that mask on.
You know this is how I conduct my business. I only wear masks. Get your shit together.
Okay.
All right, Becky, pop those earbuds out. Back to the game. Becky, it's your turn.
Sorry, what?
Your turn.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah. 17.
Got two Pokemon on the board.
What?
Got two Pokemon on the board. One and two.
Why? I thought there were 35 a second ago. You lied to me.
Ah, well, that's
I
what
think
I
they're
do
dropping.
Here.
They're really badly taped up there, so.
Terribly.
All right, number two.
Number two, well, guess I just put up this one, so we'll go this one. It looks as if it's always crying, just like me. It's actually adjusting its body's fluid levels by eliminating excess.
Looks like it's always crying. I know, I'm kind of like, that's kind of...
Kim, this Pokemon isn't, like, coming, it's crying.
I didn't... What the fuck? No, I was talking about how it's, like, excess fluids is just squishy.
I know, just leaking out its eyes.
Get your head out of the gutter, Josh.
If I didn't live in the gutter, I wouldn't have a place to go.
Wait, I thought Kim was the homeless one.
Let's stop trying to get caught up in continuity.
Kim's supposed to
now
be
I got
homeless.
A major mansion now. It's pretty sweet. I just come here now. Reminisce. Nostalgia.
You know what? You know what? Shut up.
Oh, come on.
Okay, so cries to release excess fluid. God, that... Never gets better anytime you say it.
Nope. Always sounds perverted.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I'm going to let out some excess fluid all over your body.
All over.
I'm just going to move my podium over this way. And...
Oh, yeah. Just let me borrow you for a night. Let me get rid of some excess fluid from my eyes. Ugh.
Please,
yeah.
Dear God, pick a Pokemon, Becky.
Okay. Gosh. Is it Gastrodon, maybe?
It's not Gastrodon.
Dang.
Kim, over to you. A lot of these ones read exactly the same. How about this one? It prefers an arid atmosphere. It leaks water that looks like tears when adjusting its moisture level.
Why are all these about crying?
And leaking bodily fluids.
I'll tell you this, it's not a crying Pokemon, so... Not really sure what's going on here.
I know, I can't picture any Pokemon.
I know,
so
I was like, that's
crying.
I was like, Gastrodon has like marks on its face that maybe, I don't know.
I'm like trying to think. I'm like, okay, maybe it knows the whole like fake tears move.
Oh yeah, that's true. Fake tears.
But because I can't think of anything.
I hate that move. So I'm like, whatever. Nice. Don't even know.
What the hell, man?
Girl, come over here. I want to let out some excess fluid.
Ugh. Okay, just pick a Pokemon. This is gonna take forever.
People are gonna listen to this and think. Ugh.
Pick something.
I know. I'm just trying to think, like, what looks maybe like it's.
I don't know if it actually looks like it's crying because I can't think of one.
Ugh, I'm crying all over you. Yes.
All you did say body. It has an arid environment. So, like, what?
Yeah.
Would
so pick something.
Arid...
Pick something that might be like in the desert.
Okay.
Why am I helping you?
I don't know. Thank you.
No.
Guys, I'm trying to speed this up. Come on.
Well, then don't pick this weird-ass Pokemon.
Not my choice. You picked
it. Don't pick sobbing Pokemon. Gosh.
I think this is your fault. I'm just...
10 seconds! 9!
Eight. And you picked Gastrodon?
Yeah, I did.
But, oh, Christ.
See? That's like a good answer.
Right? 1!
But, how about Gibble?
It's not Gibble. Okay. Becky, back to you.
Okay, another clue. This one better be a good clue.
All right.
In order to adjust the level of fluids in its body,
dang it!
It exudes water from its eyes. This makes it appear to be crying.
Oh,
so
my
it does
God.
Look like it's
there
crying.
Is no crying Pokemon.
We're gonna,
you're right,
we're gonna,
there's
okay,
not.
We're going to get this and be like, oh... Okay, so it lives in an
damn party.
Desert Pokemon. I don't know. Gosh, picking. Desert hippopotamus. It's the only desert Pokemon I can think of.
Yeah.
What is it?
The
was
hippopotamus. Yeah.
It's not the hippopotamus, guys. You both fucked up. It's Bonsly. Bonsly.
What?
He's
a freaking tree thing.
Yeah, apparently he cries constantly.
Apparently he cries
smiling all the time.
I know.
Not
like,
in the picture I'm looking at. All right, so Kim, back to you.
Was he crying in that picture?
Always sobbing. I don't know.
Kim, pick a number. Top 50 Pokemon on the board.
47.
47. All right. Evolution made it even more devious. It communicates by clawing signs and boulders.
Clawing signs and boulders.
Ugh, clawing signs and boulders.
Your voice has gotten so raspy.
It's the mask. It's the mask. I mean, think Christian Bale. Think what it did to his voice.
He didn't have a mask
God,
over his mouth.
So sexual.
Okay, I think it's, you said evolution makes it more sinister, right?
Yeah.
I did.
Okay.
So it's an evolved Pokemon. You got a clue.
I think it's
evolution.
I think it's Weavile.
It is Weavile.
Yeah, well, sinister. Yeah. I mean,
yes.
It's kind of the only first one that comes to mind there.
All right, Becky.
Sinister.
5 Pokemon on the board.
What? Why did she get 50 and I get 5? This is totally favoritism.
Too bad. Choosing for you.
BS. Oh.
Soon as it loads. Not that one.
The paper's loading?
Yeah, it's loading these digital cards.
He's got a really, really fancy schmancy paper.
But you crumple these up and throw them away. We should be keeping these.
Oh, no worries.
All right, well, that's I'll tear each
on
one up when I'm done with it.
Oh, my God.
I don't need it. So this Pokemon's ability to see through objects comes in handy when it's scouting for danger.
Oh, my God, I totally read this one. This is like one of the... Luxray.
It is Luxray!
Yeah! I was like, yeah, wait a minute, I know that one!
Alright, Kim. Top 2 Pokemon on the board, pick it!
2!
Quentin Tarantino, okay!
No.
Too bad. To protect itself, it afflicts those around it with nightmares. However, it means no harm.
That doesn't sound like no harm.
That kind of dick Pokemon.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, like, yeah, I was just a little scared. Sorry that you're traumatized for life now.
Don't go to sleep.
Okay. Okay, nightmares. That's a creepy one. I mean, this one's got to be really freaky weird. Is it Darkrai?
It is Darkrai!
Woo! Woo!
Gotta be honest, not too hard with the nightmare thing. Alright. Really? Becky,
exactly
top 250 yeah. Pokemon on the board.
250, okay, I want 362.
Way more than 250, so I'm gonna choose. Born on a cold seafloor, it will swim great distances to return to its birthplace.
Huh.
Oh, I think I have an idea. No, wait.
No, you don't.
Are you fucking talking out of turn?
Shut up. I'm talking to myself.
Are you fucking
Back
talking
off.
Out of turn?
Okay, so you said born on the seafloor what?
It will swim great distances to return to its birthplace. I'm so, I don't have my heart in it, because Kim is just...
I don't really have a, like, a firm answer, but I,
you know what, just guess. Yeah, I'll give you the point anyway.
Is it Mantyke?
It's not Mantyke!
No!
Not Mantyke, so I can't give you that point.
I fail at life.
It's born with a wondrous power that lets it bond with any kind of Pokemon.
That was it?
Ugh, let me bond with you.
Oh.
Feel my mask. Feel it.
Nope.
Feels like a sexual deviant.
Just creepy.
I think it meant like it's friendly.
Yeah,
Mr.
Probably.
Creeper.
Well, I think it's a sexual deviant, so my game. Don't know what to tell you.
I don't really like... Reveal it. I'm still... Yeah, Becky's was more helpful.
Guys, I'll be honest. It's a pretty shitty Pokemon.
No, I just mean in general. I was really hoping for another one. Like, you know, more detailed. Okay.
10. 9.
Manaphy?
It is Manaphy! Hey!
Oh man, that was my second goal.
Somebody, I feel, is cheating.
Why do you always think that?
Every time you get an answer right, I'm pretty sure you're cheating. I'll be completely honest, Kim.
Even if it was like Pikachu, you're gonna think I'm
cheating. I do not believe you study at all. I think you pretty much just bringing up that page, silently scrolling down, and clicking.
You really wanna bring, yeah, cause I don't study at all. It's not like you were the one who was constantly playing the games and we were working together in the student center. I was the one doing my homework.
I was playing games of the heart.
This just got personal, guys.
Oh, it got super personal.
Super personal.
Minus 10 points for Kim. Kim, you're at -6. Becky's at 3.
Because I got it right?
Nope, because you brought in something from the real world.
How does that make you feel, Kim? She's already at 6 points? How the crap?
No. She's at -6. I took away 10.
I know, but she was at 6 points?
No,
before.
I had 4.
Oh.
Becky, go.
Okay. Sorry.
Pick a fucking number.
I think you were winning anyways.
Drive! Stop it!
I'm just not allowed to get any points now.
21.
21? By 21, I think you mean Bulbasaur.
Sure.
Recognizing their own weakness, they always live in a group. When alone, this Pokemon cries noisily.
Oh. Starly.
Not Starly!
What?!
I don't know what to tell you. It's not Starly. Kim, -6 points. See if you can make a comeback. It lives in forests and fields. It squabbles over territory. Occur when flocks collide.
Starvia?
Don't know what Starvia is.
Starvia.
Sounds like something
Staravia.
Happened.
Sorry.
Oh, there you go. Staravia.
I hate you. Why do you have to guess the evolved form and get it right all the time?
All right, Kim.
Because you were pretty close. You did that to me on 2 questions.
Shut up.
Kim, you're a -5. Becky's a 3. Kim, ball's in your court.
Can I choose -3?
Yeah, sure. I'll be completely honest, not really sure how this game is working anymore. So, sure. Anything goes. This Pokemon is a master of courtesy and swordsmanship. It fights using extended swords and its elbows.
I think it's Gallade. Gallade?
It is Gallade. So now you're at -4! Hey!
Way to go for visuals.
Yeah, hey, how'd it go? So, Becky. Pick a number. You beautiful head of hair, you.
Take the negatives. They seem to be easier.
-1.
You don't have negative points! So I'm gonna choose for you.
Okay.
Oh.
Don't fucking dispute me.
Don't pick the hard ones!
Its body is covered in fine scales to reduce drag, enabling it to fly at high speeds.
Oh. Well, interesting.
Oh, that's another visual.
Flying Pokemon with scales. Or a Pokemon that can fly with scales.
Kim, stop touching the mask.
I mean, Kyle is real sometimes.
Weird. Kim, I'll take away more points.
Okay.
Please
going
do.
Back to my podium.
I'm sorry, but Becky, what'd you say?
I said please do.
Can you what? Oh, by the way, power-ups have been given out, so that.
Oh, that's what that is. I thought it was your lunch.
Nope. No. Nope, those uncooked hot dogs are your power-ups.
Ew.
So, Becky, if you want to use that power-up, you're more than welcome to.
Sure, because I never use it anyway.
Alright, this Pokemon's type is Dragon and Ground.
Dragon? Ooh. Dragon Ground, Dragon Ground. Wait. No, I thought I knew it, and then I was like, nope, that's actually not a water, or that is not a ground type, that is a water type.
Guys, I'll be honest, it's the only dragon and ground Pokemon, I'm pretty sure.
But it's the evolutionary chain that's getting me!
Well, you have to fucking choose!
Is it Garchomp?
It is Garchomp!
Yes!
Hey!
You picked the right one for once!
4-4, alright, so Kim.
I don't like the score.
Your turn!
Because you suck.
-1.
Oh, sticking with the negatives, huh?
Yeah.
Not really liking that. All right. Its appearance changes depending on where it evolved. The materials on hand become part of its body.
Change it based on where it's evolved.
I know this one.
You know this one?
I do.
Oh, I mean, obviously, the first thing I was thinking is, like, first-gen Pokemon, so I'm like, that makes no sense.
No. Why would you... What?
No, Kim, it's not far-fetched. Get your head out of the fucking gutter.
Well, I don't know... I don't want to know how that was in the gutter.
Because, you know,
no,
far-fetched
no, just don't.
Leak,
just don't.
And the leak is
just
like
don't.
No,
no.
Can I guess?
Oh, yeah, sure. You can guess whenever you want. Apparently, this game has no rules, so...
Cast form?
It's not cast form!
Ooh, I know.
Becky?
I think. Oh god, I'm gonna feel really bad if I get this wrong now. Is it Wormadam?
It is Wormadam!
Yeah.
5-4.
Cause I.
Becky!
Read that one.
Your point again. So, pick a number.
Number 2.
Alright, staying in the positives. Apparently we could go in the negatives, so, you know.
I can't go in the negatives, because somebody said I couldn't.
I also said there are no rules anymore, so.
There's no rules, and I could guess when Becky guesses. I'm supposed to just give myself, like, 100 points.
Kim, here's the thing. Are you trying to dispute me?
No, I'm agreeing with you. You said there's no rules, so I'm agreeing with you.
A group tried to use scientific means to make this Pokemon evolve, but their efforts ended in failure.
Oh, that's...
A group tried to use scientific means to make this Pokemon evolve, but their efforts ended in failure.
Oh, poor Pokemon. But that means it doesn't evolve, so, maybe it means it doesn't evolve. Gosh, there are so many Pokemon...
Also, I just want to apologize for starting off with that description, because... So sorry.
The others
hate me for it when you find out who it is.
The others are way easier, aren't they?
Yep.
Oh my god, I hate you.
I'll be honest, it's the first one I saw, and it's completely unfair that I saw it first.
You okay, just get it wrong, and then...
You should really just get it wrong, because you're not going to get it right.
Yeah, just get it wrong.
I'm going to guess. Is it...
No.
Chatot?
Nope. Although, could you just imagine a bunch of scientists, like,
experimenting cutting up open on Chatots
and being like, this should help it evolve, right? If we fuck around?
I just feel like it's such a, like, a sad, pathetic-looking Pokemon that it needs to evolve. So scientists would just be like, evolve this son of a...
Guys, that's one of the reasons why this is so misleading. Kim, it evolved from exposure to a special magnetic field.
What?
Three units generate magnetism.
What?
Wait, so they say it didn't evolve, and then it does evolve.
Apparently,
no,
it
doesn't
failed.
Evolve. This Pokemon doesn't evolve.
Oh, but then it evolves it from.
Yup, completely misleading.
Wait, that's totally lame. So the scientists of the world were just like, you know, even though you already evolved, like, fuck that. Let's just make it
we'll
super
make you
great.
Evolve again.
Yup.
That sounds not like good torture.
Enough. Okay, so it evolves from what? Can you repeat the second part, please?
It evolved from an exposure to a special magnetic field. Three units generate magnetism.
Magnezone.
Yup.
That's not fair! That was so
Kim,
easy.
-3.
Woo, woo!
Sorry, Becky, are you trying to fucking dispute me?
No, I'm crying.
To the zero. Because
you saw what happened when Kim tried to dispute me.
I know I did.
She's working her way back up.
So close to zero.
-3 to -5. Alright, wish I was actually keeping track of the score.
I was is that right?
She should theoretically be at, like, 7.
All right, Kim, your turn.
2. Do I?
2? Well, I'm going to go with dose instead. It likes places where people gather. It mimics foes to confuse them, then makes its getaway.
What a weird-ass Pokemon.
I know. Didn't do anything, but it wants to run away.
I'm just picturing it walking to a big old crowd and then just, like, miming around, like,
and then running away.
Yo, wait, does this Pokemon have any weaknesses? Holy shit.
What do you mean?
This Pokemon may not have any weaknesses.
How can it not have any weaknesses?
Well, maybe if you used your power up, I'd tell you.
No. Okay.
You're never going to use it.
Well, this one's, I think, kind of obvious. You said it mimes people.
I said it mimics people. I don't know where you got mime from.
Mimics and mime. Those are a very similar word. I think it's Mime Jr.
Well, it was Sudowoodo, so fuck you. It was Mime Jr.
Dang.
Kim, -2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, Becky.
Trying on this
How
one.
How does it have any... Is it because of its new type? Because it's fairy
yeah,
now?
It's because it's also fairy.
I was going to say it's
Or at least it is nothing that does x2 damage, more like 1.5, but still.
Well, okay. How about
completely fucking up the game?
How about 6?
6?
Yes.
We don't have a 6 anymore. Try again.
How about 3?
It is a brazen brute that barges its way into another Pokemon's nest and claims it as its own.
Ouch.
What a dick.
I know, right? Okay, so it barges into the nests of other Pokemon. That tells me absolutely nothing.
Nope. I'll be honest.
Okay.
Most of this Pokemon's entries will not help you.
Even if he doesn't favorite Kim, he hates me. That's all there is to it. That's my theory.
You're not wrong. I fucking hate you both. Don't know why I keep coming back here.
Yeah, it's just can't get rid of you.
I guess not. Trying to think of like strong Pokemon from this generation.
10, 9, 8, 7.
You just stop counting down.
1, 0. Time to guess. Name that fucking Pokemon.
Is it Rhyperior? I don't know.
It's not Rhyperior!
Kind of a big Pokemon.
Now, Kim, it would claim another Pokemon's nest as its own if it finds a nest sufficiently comfortable.
So it's picky and a dick.
We're just into nests now, eh? It's our thing.
Apparently.
Pretentious Pokemon.
Hey, guys, I'm just saying all of Mothim's dex entries have to do with it stealing honey from combis.
Which totally makes no sense. It's a moth. Because moths totally steal honey.
Right?
I'm gonna, like, read this in a Wikipedia article somewhere, and it's going to be like, moths steal honey all the time, and I'm going to feel like an idiot.
Just picture just moths always attacking those damn bees, you know?
You should probably try and think of the Pokemon you're going to guess, you know?
Well, it's the same bucket thing you got.
I know, pretty much.
Is it Skunk Tank?
Kim, let me tell you, you're beautiful, you're smart, you got 10 fingers.
I do.
But you're wrong. Becky, back to you. Here's one. Here's a good one. To make itself appear intimidatingly beefy, it tightly clenches its waist with its twin tails.
Tightens its waist. Okay, so it has two tails. That is slightly helpful.
Great time to use that power up.
Wait.
Sure, use your power up.
I did.
Rules! So if you...
Can I just look at that card then? Can I just come over here and look at that card?
Do you want me to loan you a power-up? Do you want to, like, you want to buy one?
Can I just guess?
Yeah, sure!
I think Ambipom?
It's not Ambipom, really? Guys! It was Perugly!
Yeah. That Pokemon kind of seems like a pretentious dick.
Alright, Kim, it's your turn.
I will go with 17, please.
Well, sure. I mean, you're negatives, but sure you can go with positives.
So nice.
I don't really give a shit. I'm just giving up anyway. It freezes foes with an icy breath nearly negative 60 degrees Fahrenheit. What seems to be its body is actually hollow.
It's actually hollow.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't look hollow. Okay. Is it Frostlass?
It's Frostlass. Alright, Becky. Kim's at negative something. She's answered 9 questions correctly. I don't know if I'll award her it on the 10th, but, you know, make this next one count.
I'm trying. Shush. She gets all the ones I know.
Hey, you know what? Guys, fuck the rules. Let's make it interesting. Whoever gets this one right wins.
What? Oh, God. But it's her turn.
And you're on -3. And so here's how this is going to go. I'm going to read it. First one to answer gets it. Sound good?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. You guys ready?
No.
This is the end all. Fuck the rules, as I've said so many times before.
This is the ultimate screw the rules.
All right. Wait, hold on. Hold on. Becky, Kim, can you put your fingers in your ears and say watermelon for like 2 seconds?
Watermelon.
Okay.
Watermelon.
Becky?
Yes.
Don't fuck this up, okay? I'm fucking going out of my way for you, okay? Okay? I can't, I know you paid me, I can't fucking make this any easier, okay?
So, are you
I'm gonna give you a hint. I'm gonna give you a hint. It's not Electrovire.
To the water.
Okay.
To the melon. Watermelon. Watermelon.
Get this fucking right, Becky, okay?
Watermelon.
I'll try. All right.
Kim?
What?
Okay, thank you. The fact that you responded immediately puts so much faith in you right now. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Yes.
It agilely scales sheer cliffs to live atop craggy mountains. Its fire is put out when it sleeps.
Chimchar.
Boom!
What?
Boom! Bam! Boom! Kim.
Yes. I actually knew it.
That's game.
I know.
Do you want to try to take it back? I'll let you answer one more just to be fair.
Yes.
All right. I mean, you're not going to win, but this is more like just saving grace kind of thing. Yeah. Speaking of pride, this Pokemon, possessing a sturdy build, takes pride in its strength, taking down foes without using toxins.
Sturdy build, takes on foes without using toxins.
Yeah.
So it could use toxins?
So it's probably a poison type? Uh-huh. Yep.
Another Pokemon, not a lot of weaknesses.
Not a lot of weaknesses.
This would be a really good time to use your power-up.
Sure, let's go power-up.
Yeah, well, it's bug and dark. Nope, bug, I meant poison.
Well, that makes sense, but it's not using it. Okay. I think it's Drapion?
It is Drapion! Kim, you saved your face.
Woo, 50-50
chance.
You lost
the game.
Oh.
Well, not 50-50.
Well, I was thinking, no, I was thinking like my, because I was thinking that or Squirrelpie.
Squirrelpie is poison and bug, not poison and dark.
Okay. Well, I got it right. So.
You did.
Yes.
Kim.
I had my moment.
Hey, Kim.
I had my moment.
Kim, come here. Give me a hug.
Okay.
Well, bring it in.
Okay.
There it is. There it is. Becky, do it now. Do it now.
I can't. I'm sorry. My conscience is just,
can't move.
I'm sorry.
I can't breathe.
I don't want to go to jail.
Let the tranquilizer take over.
What?
And all right, Becky?
Yes?
Becky?
Slightly terrified right now.
Sneak attack!
Good.
Oh, God!
Oh, no! Oh, we gotta run! That's it for running that Pokemon. We'll see you guys next week.
Kim's trying to kill me.
Alright, and that will do it for episode 114 of Connectivity. As always, you can send your listener mail to connectivity@nintendoreport.com. You should rate and review us on iTunes if you haven't done so yet. We would greatly appreciate it. And be sure to follow us on Twitter. Go to nintendoreport.com, look for the Twitter sidebar on the right-hand side of the page, and you'll find all of our usernames there. And now, if you'd be so inclined, stick around for a bonus segment all about the NHL season so far. Thank you.
But struggling American city, they hear a lot about what they don't have anymore. They prefer to focus on what's still going strong. A team that's been a model of success for decades, in a sport that's entrenched here not just in name, but in culture. They love hockey in Detroit, though across the border, there's an entire country that treasures the game as its national pastime. And in that country's largest city, for generations, the home team has been at once adored and agonized over. Nearly half a century has passed since the Stanley Cup was last raised in Toronto. But disappointments seem only to fortify their fan base and their faith in what is to come. In both these places, the game has been part of the fabric since hockey's earliest days, binding the franchises together in history, building traditions around casts of legends. The uncommon passion sharply invigorates the latest set of stars. The exceptional promise deeply resonates with those just on their way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this bonus segment of Connectivity, all about the NHL. I'm again joined by JP and Donald.
Hey, everybody.
We are going to be talking about this season so far, our respective favorite teams, and maybe just some oddball things that have popped up here and there. And then we're going to also discuss the very first episode of 24/7 Road to the Winter Classic with the Detroit Red Wings and the Toronto Maple Leafs, which I believe is sponsored by NyQuil. At least that's how I felt after watching the first episode, but.
It wasn't, see, they need to bring, you know, it's not 24/7 without Brzgalov, to me.
I know, he stole the show last time, I agree.
That's the whole reason you watch. They should have just brought him in, the league should have insisted that one of those two teams sign Brzgalov when he
Pick
was a free agent, because, I don't know.
I mean, HBO probably would have liked that.
Either that, or get one of the coaches to start dropping multiple F-bombs. But then again, I wouldn't be able to see them uncensored in Canada because Sportsnet are running the show up here and they don't like that sort of thing.
Oh, there's plenty of F-bombs. You must not have seen the right one because I was watching on HBO Go earlier and, oh, there's plenty of F-bombs in there.
Well, yeah, they censor it. That's what he's
saying.
Yeah,
I know. I'm saying,
yeah,
that's, you should, it's definitely in there. It's just too bad you're not getting them.
I actually like that aspect of it. I mean, not to jump too much into it now, but,
like you hear a lot of it on the ice and stuff, which is cool. Not as much from the coaches, at least not Babcock. Carlisle was dropping a few, but I like when you hear it on the ice and stuff. Because you know, we all watch hockey games. You see it where like the camera is like square on a guy's face, and you can just see him like spouting off
multiple
F bombs.
And occasionally, if the guy's not running the mute button right, you'll hear it once in a while. If you,
the mic's like on the boards or something, we'll pick it up.
I went to an Oilers game once because I have family that lives in Alberta, and we heard plenty of bombs because we were sitting right in the corner. Second row right behind the net. So yeah, you hear a lot of that, but yeah, just this year, there's no Bruce Boudreau around to, you know, go off 25 times a minute.
Right. Yeah. He was pretty amazing in that. What was that? That was the first season. Yeah. Yeah. He was pretty good. Yeah. Well, I don't have HBO, so I've been downloading, I downloaded the first episode via torrent. So maybe I'll have to point you in that direction, download if you want the uncensored stuff.
I got it the same way, but yeah, still. One of these teams needed to hire Boudreau when he got fired a couple of years ago. Then Brisgalov, and then you have profits.
Yep, exactly.
Peter, come on, Peter Laviolette's out of a job right now. He did some of it himself, you know. So you could get him, he can get the old band back together.
Yeah, hire him as like just a consultant or something.
Just
and
some
then,
guy,
yeah,
just basically the guy that sits around saying F-bombs. You know, that's his job.
He could be the PR manager.
I'm sure.
So before we go straight into 24/7, let's talk a little bit about the season. So last time we had one of these segments was before the Stanley Cup final between the Bruins and the Blackhawks. My Blackhawks, of course, becoming victorious with the famous 2 goals in 17 seconds. I guess some poetic justice there for any Leafs fans, eh?
Yes, absolutely.
Like I wanted to see similar shots like when they showed all the Leafs fans just like. At, you know, live in that, like, what, pavilion or plaza or whatever, like, after the Bruins scored in overtime. I want to see a similar shot of their faces when the Bruins let 2 goals in 17 seconds.
Yeah, Maple Leafs Square. They should have probably brought, if they knew, they probably would have reassembled that for Game 6.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty amazing. So we've had a new season upon us, a non-lockout shortened season. Things have been a little interesting. We've got the new, division format, I guess you could say, with two divisions in each conference. As we were talking about before we started recording, the Metropolitan Division is just absolute garbage.
It's just bad. And I don't know how, like, you got, like I would say, like, there's so much talent on some of these teams, you know? It's like, you know, Lundqvist isn't playing up to his level. The Rangers aren't scoring. Like, the Flyers inexplicably have good goaltending, but they can't score, which is just the opposite of what you would have expected. If we'd done one of these segments before the season started, my line would have been, oh yeah, the Flyers can score with the best of them, but they just don't have any defense or goaltending, and it's been the other way around.
It's pretty amazing. So you've got, let's see, I'm looking at the list here. So we've got 5 teams all within 3 points of that third place spot on the Metropolitan Division. Which would be at 35 points, which is pretty bad.
It is less than the fifth place team in the Atlantic Division, which is unfortunately my Leafs.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if the Leafs were in the Metropolitan Division, you would be right there right now in a playoff spot. Well, I guess you still are. You've got that last wild card spot right now, but yeah, it's not good. But I guess it works out okay for you, JP. But hopefully, you know, if the Flyers kind of turn things on a little bit.
Well, they just tied it up right here, so if they can win.
Oh, did they score 2 goals?
They scored 2 goals, yeah. That was my big trying to not yell during the recording. But yeah, Giroux just tied it up, so tied it 4 with about 3 minutes to play. So if they win this game, they're in third place and they're in the playoffs as of right now with like 50 games to go.
As a fan of a team that has beat up on the Blue Jackets for years, I understand how that could happen. I'm not surprised for them to give up 2 goals like that in the third period. They are a bad team. You are lucky that they wound up in your division.
Yeah, that's
worked
out okay.
It took a huge step back from last season.
Yeah, we got, I don't know, we ended up with Washington too, though, so it kind of balances out.
I guess that's true. So let's talk a little bit about where everyone's team's at. So like we've already talked about, JP, the Flyers not doing as hot as maybe you thought they would be. We got a pretty sick-ass goalie fight at one point.
Yeah. That was kind of like the turnaround point. It was like that game that they lost, I believe, 7-0 to Washington. But, like, since that game, they've been on kind of a tear. I mean, they've been really good. I mean, because really, the Flyers started the season 1-7. And now if they win this here tonight, they'll be over 500. They fought from 1-7 to 10-10-2, and they haven't ever managed to get above 500, but they've been kind of bouncing right around there. It's on the back of Steve Mason. Steve Mason, a guy who I remember the two of you making fun of me and the Flyers on Twitter when they when they made that deal to acquire him mid last season, but he has been pretty good so far in Philadelphia.
I wonder how much of that was a factor of the fact that, oh my God, you got the Columbus goaltender? Seriously? And and then Bobrovsky goes out and wins the Vezina last season. So
yeah. They pay Brizgalov $100 million and he does nothing, and so they bring in this guy on a flyer and like nobody expects anything, and he's been really good so far, so I guess that's the way it goes sometimes.
I guess at the very least he's like consistent. Whereas like Brizgalov would have those games where he was like great, and then he'd have those games where he was not great. And unfortunately I think there were more games where he was not great than the other way around.
Mason's been slipping a little the last few games, but really before that point he was playing it's not just like he was playing okay. He was about just like 2.0 something goals against average with like a 930 save percentage. I mean, he was having a really good year.
Yeah.
I don't know. He gave up 4 tonight, and he gave up, 4 the other day. So it's, not always, but, and the problem for a while was they couldn't score, but they're starting to score. Of course, you really can't mention the Flyers this season without pointing to the fact that they fired their coach after 3 games.
That's right.
Which seems to have worked for them, really. I mean, like, they were, I don't know, maybe they would have bounced back either way, but I mean, Craig Berube is it took some time to get his system in, but they seem to be playing it well.
So then Donald, I mean, we get a little bit more of a look at your team on 24/7, but how are the Leafs doing? I believe they got off to a pretty hot start, if I'm not mistaken, but have kind of leveled back down.
Yeah, they went about a month into the season before they lost to a team whose name didn't have a C in it at the start of it. That was probably the craziest streak of the season, probably the craziest one we'll see. The problem is, the problems the Leafs had last year are coming back in full force this year, in that they are a horrible puck possession team, which means our goalie tandem is in a position where they basically have to have, 950 save percentages every night just to keep them in the game.
Mm-hmm. And they are a lot of the time, which is good because I get Bernier on my fantasy team, so that's helping me.
Right now they've really had a rough November. They had a rough November, a rough December. One exception, I think, being somehow managing to beat the Blackhawks 7-3, so the second episode of 24/7 will be a little bit more exciting just to see what happened with that game. But
the more I thought about it, the more like I'm not excited to have to relive that. I was kind of playing around. It doesn't really upset me that much. I mean, it's not like it's big rivals or it was like an important game necessarily. But the more I think about it, the more I'm excited to actually see that on 24/7, because I think it will be kind of exciting to just see how excited they are. And I don't know, just it'll add some life to it. Because other than that, like I was reading something the other day that like I don't think the Red Wings have won a single game since they've been on 24/7. And I think the Leafs, like, apart from that Blackhawks game, I don't think they've won any games too on 24/7, like, since they've been filming.
Yeah, they started filming with a Boston game on the 8th of December, and yeah, since then they have one win, although they're about to go to overtime with Phoenix right now. The other problem I have with the Leafs is the fact that their big free agent acquisition is a bigger waste of money than, in the interest of keeping this on topic for a Nintendo podcast, he's a bigger waste of money than the microtransactions in Bravely Default. Because
there you go, that'll wake some people up.
Yeah, and he was suspended for the first 7 games of the regular season, and he had a second suspension for 2 games. The Leafs were 6-2 in those games without him.
Who was the free agent?
David Clarkson,
who
they stupidly signed to a 7-year contract in some attempt to keep Phil Kessel happy. And I've already figured out that his buyout is $1.75 million over 12 years, and I want them to pay it.
It's not bad, huh?
Well, considering the salary cap's apparently going into the $70 million range next year, that'll probably be the that's a hit I'm willing to take.
You want to go off into a sidetrack for a second. It's how meaningless was the whole salary cap shrinkage if they're going to bounce it back to even higher than it was next year?
Right. I know it does seem kind of weird, but maybe that was what the whole negotiation was based on, and the knowing that it was going to go up, so the players trying to get their fair share. Yeah. I don't know.
I suppose we would still be stuck with Brizgalov, and we wouldn't have Vinny LeCavier, so I can't complain too much.
Yeah, fair enough.
Speaking of, though, the Flyers just won because Claude Giroux scored a late goal, so the Flyers are now above 500 and occupy a playoff spot in the Metropolitan Division.
There you go. Hooray. and then David Boland, who you guys got from the Blackhawks, suffered a pretty bad, cut to his Achilles or something, right?
Yeah, he got sliced Achilles. Keeps him, I believe he'll be back in probably, if not just before the Olympics, then definitely he'll be back by the time the Olympic break's over.
Yeah. And, that's one guy I think 24/7 could really use, because I don't know if you've, heard many interviews with him, but he's kind of a weird, strange guy. He could have been one of those guys they really could have turned to for some choice quotes.
Although it does help they have Alicia Cuthbert there, so she can, if they turn it into one giant cat fight between Cuthbert and the families of the Leafs goaltenders, I'd be okay with that. Just like it happened at the end of the playoffs last year.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, there was some tweeting controversy, right?
Yeah, and some dirty looks in the luxury box at the end of
that's right.
The end of game 7.
That's right. I remember that, yeah. What a bunch of nonsense that was. But yeah, I love that she was prominently displayed in the first episode and probably will continue to be so. I like that you have your captain suspended in the first episode for 2 games. That's a nice touch.
And it was nice to sort of get an idea of what they go through when they have those disciplinary hearings, because there's been a lot of those this season.
Well, I was thinking the same thing.
I was going to say, that was one of the more fascinating things of the episode to me, because you always hear about it from the outside, but to see them go through that process with the disciplinary thing. So
I was hoping you'd see a little bit more of it, really behind the scenes and in the offices when the player safety guys are really looking at it and making the final call. I think you got some breakdown of it when it was the Leafs general manager was kind of looking at it and talking it over.
Yeah, when they were reviewing the tape to try and see how they'd make their case to player safety.
Right, to try to get it more back on his side. Yeah. Yeah, that was super interesting. I did like that part. So then my team, the Blackhawks, are pretty much kind of going right where they left off. Top of the league right now, 2 points ahead of the Ducks. And, everything's going okay. We're on our third and fourth goaltenders right now, which is kind of interesting. But they're making it work. We've got another great Antti coming up through the minor league systems with Antti Raanta. And he's been great. I think he's lost – the only game he's lost was that Leafs game, is funny enough. And has been – so he's 6-1, I want to say, since he's been playing. And – has been very, very good. And then they got LaBarbera from the Oilers to be his backup, because as we saw in that Leafs game, when Kent Simpson had to come in, that was very, very bad.
Yeah, but when you're going to get goaltenders from the Oilers, you have problems.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. I think Crawford's supposed to be out another maybe 2 to 3 weeks. I want to say initially they said 3 weeks when he was hurt, and that it's been a little over a week now, but obviously they did that move to kind of keep the ship afloat, since they can't just play Raanta every game, every night, for the next month, so.
And hopefully Crawford's good and ready to go, because we might need him in Russia in February.
That's right, yeah. Now, rumor is, he's been kind of penciled in to be that third goaltender in Canada, but he has been kind of hurt now, so you kind of wonder if the door's open for someone else. We'll just have to see. But I'd love to see him go.
Yeah, it'd probably be some combo of Luongo, Carey Price. If we have to resort to Marc-Andre Fleury, I don't think we're winning a gold medal.
Fleury can't win when it counts. He can win in the regular season, but in the Olympics, when it's like the medals on the line, he's gonna fall apart like he always does in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's not the guy you want. On your biggest stage.
I mean, he's incredibly hot right now when it doesn't matter. But you know, come April, come May, you know, he's not gonna be there.
I don't know. The Canadian team should theoretically be as loaded as the Pittsburgh Penguins were when he won the Cup.
But then, yeah, everything else moving along just fine. Patrick Kane, right up there with, like, the points leaders in the league, and I think he's, like, third or fourth in goals now. He's got 20. I don't think he's going to catch Ovechkin, who, again, is just, like...
He's got 20, so he's third or fourth. The most any one player on the Flyers has is 10.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that shows you where... Now, they've got a bunch of guys, like, it's spread out over a bunch of guys, but still, they're not scoring that well.
Yeah, no, and actually, the Hawks just played the Predators the other night, and I think their leading goal scorer is their top defenseman, Shea Weber, and he has 8 goals, that kind of tells you where the Predators are at.
Don't get me started on Shea Weber.
Yeah, I know.
That explains why Steven won't talk about hockey anymore.
Yeah, right? things have gotten bad in Nashville. They were always, like... decent and always kind of afloat there and always made the playoffs, but the past 2 years they've kind of fallen off. Been a lot of like talk that maybe I think of his name now, but the coach in Nashville that might be losing his job, and he's the only coach they've ever had.
Barry Trotz.
Barry Trotz, yeah, there you go. He's been there since the team started. So that would be kind of a big blow to them if that happened, but we'll see. I think that's pretty much it. So let's just move on to 24/7. That's the exciting new stuff that's happening right now, or maybe not so exciting. But well, I'm always curious, Donald. I mean, your team's on it, so for you, I don't know if it's more exciting to kind of see behind the scenes and get to know these players a little bit more. I mean, how did you like the first episode and what you saw of the Leafs?
I liked what I saw. I don't like the fact that our coach is apparently doing what they call jobs to toaster ovens.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, I watched that episode and I tweeted it, but Carlisle, like, just, he so much reminds me of, like, Michael Scott. Like, he seems to, like, really be trying to, like, play to the camera
That's a great comparison. I didn't think of that, right? But I mean, that's what he's doing. Like, he's, like, just, he's acknowledging the cameras too much, you know? It's like,
he's like, kind of trying to, like, say jokes and then he, like, looks into the camera, like, do you guys get that? And, like, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I totally forgot that, I don't know how I forgot considering it was such a big story here, but Daniel Alfredson signing with the Red Wings in the offseason. So it's good to at least have one person we can constantly boo during the big game. The only problem is I'll get to see all the buildup, but I'm going to be in Florida on New Year's Day. So I'm not sure how much of the game I'm actually going to get to see.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to Disney World. So I'm gonna miss.
Well, I mean, if you really want to see it, I mean, it's not like a normal hockey game here.
Yeah,
it's
on network. It's on NBC.
Right, it's on NBC, which every hotel room's gonna have. So I mean, you can find the game if you want to.
Yeah, unless you're not doing other things. If you're in the park, you're not gonna be able to watch it. But
right.
Yeah, but I'll miss that. I'll probably miss part of that because we'll probably be in the park on New Year's Day, and I'll miss most of the World Junior Hockey Championships. The other big thing I watch over Christmas.
While you're in the U.S., you can watch all of the U.S.'s games if you want, Donald, on the NHL Network.
They show most of the games on there. I mean, although that's probably, if you're in a hotel, that's probably not on the hotel cable, especially if you're
not. No, yeah, see, you'd have to watch it online, yeah. But I want to say that in the U.S., the NHL, like, Network's website is streaming all the U.S. games.
Oh, okay.
For whatever it's worth.
And the network itself will show them, and I mean, they'll show pretty much all of them.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll probably be able to get them on, like, TSN's website up here since they have the broadcast rights.
Yeah.
If I'm desperate to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning to watch hockey.
Right, exactly.
Which, while I'm in Florida, probably not so much.
Yeah, if you were home, maybe, but yeah, not in Florida. There'll be other things to do, hopefully. But yeah, so I don't know, like, I've always really wanted to see, like, you know, the Blackhawks on one of these shows. JP had it last year, now you've had it
2 years ago. There wasn't one last year.
Well, okay, yeah, two years ago, fair enough.
And the Blackhawks have been in a Winter Classic, just not since 24/7 started.
Right, it was the year before they started 24/7, yeah. But, I don't know. So, I mean, apart from Randy Carlyle being kind of an interesting guy, was there any other elements that were kind of interesting for you, particularly as a Leafs fan?
Well, the fact that they happened to start against the Bruins, I don't know if that was intentional or not, but...
Yeah, seems like it.
Yeah, just what we need, just what I need, another reminder of the night my heart got ripped out of its chest.
Yeah, right, and they reviewed that pretty heavily, too. It wasn't like, let's just show this current Bruins game, it's like, let's go back and show some footage.
Let's remind everybody why they're upset.
Yeah.
And if you pause it right here, you can see the exact moment the heart splits in two.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty good. I'm surprised the schedule makers didn't also have the Red Wings play the Blackhawks at some point during this little 3-week recording period to do the same thing for them.
They only play each other twice a year now, which would have made it tougher.
Well, yeah, that's probably true.
It's so weird, though, the fact that we play the Red Wings 4 times a year. I think the last time we did that was back when the Norris Division was a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite some time ago. So as for the episode for whole, I mean, like we kind of talked about it, it's hard to make this exciting when A, you don't have those kind of quirky standout guys like Brzgalov or like, Bruce Boudreau who are just kind of stealing the spotlight, and you have teams playing badly. And it doesn't help too that the Red Wings are like kind of a really young team now. And it seems like there's not a lot of chemistry there, which is why you have the scene in the beginning where, you know, Babcock's like forcing each player every night to come out and like announce the starting lineup in what, like a humorous way. And that totally didn't work.
Maybe it does. Maybe it works better when they don't have cameras rolling on it. Maybe it's just they were tense because of that. I don't know. But yeah, that scene.
That was pretty bad. And then you had the dinner in Florida, which was pretty bad too. Like it was just this hodgepodge of like random conversations and you only heard like a few sentences of each and nothing really made sense. Like I was like, what are these guys talking about? Some guy buys some drinks and then like they're talking about when one guy gets his ear cut and then all of a sudden they're talking about like scoring their first goals or something and it was all just random. That didn't really work for me.
Yeah, I think they were just probably just setting up the characters and probably in the future episodes we'll start to hopefully get more of the personalities to come through.
Right. And you got some good stuff of that, like with Alfredson, I thought was great. You know, you see his family, and they talk about the difficulty of moving and leaving Ottawa after so long. I mean, that was good. You know, see him skate with his kids and stuff in Joe Louis Arena. That's neat. I thought the stuff with Lupo was kind of cool, like seeing his rehabilitation.
That was nice. That was fun.
Yeah, I mean, just to see, like, what these guys go through and stuff to get prepared and get back into shape is, I mean, it is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I will definitely say that having the last time we did this, it was the Flyers, and this time not being the Flyers, it's certainly less interesting to me. But I think it's still good. I mean, I'm still, you know, even if we weren't doing these, I would still watch the rest of them because I think it's a neat look behind the scenes. It's just, it's not as fun when it's not your team.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of reality shows as it is, so I'm not sure if I'd watch this. I don't think I'll be watching this next year when they do it again, but it might be worth checking into if there's a really bombastic personality.
Well, yeah, that helps, or if there's like clear, like, I don't know, good guy, bad guy kind of thing, you know, like if there's a team you really hate, that might make it interesting. Just anything like that, I mean, would certainly help.
Yeah, I'm honestly though with this thing, I'm more interested to see if they do anything around the alumni game just because the Leafs and Red Wings have a really big historical rivalry, but it's really diminished in recent years. Simply because they've been separated for so long.
Right. But with the alumni game, you get those guys who really played against each other and probably hated each other.
I wonder, yeah, we'll see. It'll come back now that you're in the same division again, you know? So let's heat this back up.
Yeah. Until they change the alignment again 2 years from.
Yeah, well, it'll be like two. It'll be like six, probably.
Well, if anything, if they change the alignment again, I don't think it'll affect Detroit. Because where Seattle might get a team or...
They're going to have to push teams... Yeah, I think at least one of the teams is going to go into the East, so somebody's going to get bounced back into the Western Conference, and it's probably going to be Detroit.
Detroit or Columbus, I mean, they're right on the border there, so yeah, one of those would get pushed back.
But at least the thing is, I think Detroit at least is like, well, Detroit you can make an argument both ways, because they have, I mean, you have rivals like the Blackhawks and whatnot in the West, but you have, you know, the historical Maple Leafs rivalry. Columbus doesn't have a rivalry with anybody, really. They've only existed for a decade.
Yeah.
So they can kind of put them wherever they want to put them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, although I think the main reason they moved Columbus over was so that they could get Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin 4 times a year, or however often divisional foes play each other. It's a cheap way of boosting attendance.
Well, it's more than 4, isn't it? Don't they play 5. 6 times now? Oh, is it 5? Well, I heard that some's 5 and some is 6. It depends, like,
but I think it's in the East when you have 18 divisions, it's 5. In the West, I think it might be 6.
There's 6 for a couple, yeah, because it's not a perfect even number of teams in the divisions. Yeah, not yet. Not until that Seattle team gets in there.
Seattle and Las Vegas? No.
Yeah, Vegas is always.
They always talk about Vegas, but it never happens. And no, putting another team in the desert doesn't make sense. There's already too many teams in the desert. I think it's, you know, right now I have to say it's probably going to be Quebec City because they keep talking about it so much.
Although the Winterhawks are pretty popular there. Then again, I saw a lot of them last year, so that may be part of it. But get that Seattle-Portland rivalry over from MLS and let's have some fun.
That would be fun. That would be very fun. I'm a big fan of the, you know, as the big resident Seattle Sounders fan, I'm, you know, that would be fun. Just bring it back in everything. Put an NBA team in Seattle so you can have rivalries between Seattle and Portland in every sport.
I will say, apart from, like, characters and stuff like that, what I also enjoy with 24/7 is just seeing, like, hockey in amazing HD and interesting camera angles that you don't get from the regular telecast. Like, that stuff to me is really, really exciting, too. And you get all the on-ice, like, conversations and stuff like we were talking about, you know, uncensored. You're hearing what these guys are saying to each other, and that's always exciting, too. I love the refs. I want to say, I think it was last year in 24/7, didn't they actually, the cameras went back, like, into the little, like, ref locker room between periods, and you kind of got to look at, like, even what the refs are doing between periods, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah. I just wish they would have had a chance to get to figure out what happened in that Detroit-Florida game where they had the covered glass replace the standard
level. Oh, yeah.
Halfway through the third period.
That was amazing, yeah. Good job, you know, doing that for the people who paid for the most expensive tickets in the building, and then you're blocking their vision completely. That was pretty good.
No, well, they would be able to get seats, though. I mean, it's Florida, so they could easily get replacement tickets for the next game.
They could just move back a couple of
seats. I was going to say, yeah, they could probably just move over a couple seats. Poor Florida. Although Florida's doing pretty good in 24/7. I think, didn't they even beat the Leafs this week?
Yeah.
I know they beat the Red Wings twice in that first episode, and didn't they just play the Leafs, I think, sometime this week and beat them? So that'll be on the next episode.
Yep.
Florida Panthers, unbeatable on 24/7, apparently.
Okay, yeah, I can understand, you know, they somehow managed to beat Chicago 7-3. They just beat Phoenix, thank God. They lose to Pittsburgh, I can understand that. And then they lose to Florida, seriously? Although Florida, I don't know if that's just a factor of Florida suddenly got really hot.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. Florida's always hot. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe. They fired their coach, they have a new coach, and they've made a couple trades. They actually gave Christopher Stee back to the Blackhawks and took a couple of the Blackhawks prospects who are immediately inserted to the lineup because that shows you the difference between the Panthers and the Blackhawks. Guys who have been locked in the minor league systems for years are instantly like NHL stars when they hit the Panthers. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. Maybe just like that spotlight of being on HBO and makes them play a little better. I don't know. So what do we want to see from the rest of the season? I mean, Donald, especially you, is there any, like, do you have a player you want them to focus on? Is there anything related to the Leafs specifically you want to see? Or are you just along for the ride at this point?
I'm pretty much along for the ride, although I'd like to see the cameras try to get a little bit more on Phil Kessel. I want to see if they can go the whole run of the show without resorting to the footage from that first All-Star game where he was the last pick.
That was the best. That was the absolute best. Didn't he win a car because he was the last pick?
Yeah.
Too? Like, didn't they give him a pity prize?
Yeah, the last pick, they get a car and a donation to their charity.
That's amazing. The thing. I love that All-Star format, the draft thing. I'm kind of like, normally I wouldn't care, but I'm kind of sad we're not going to have that this year with the Olympics because I like that format.
Yeah, it's true. So it's 2 years in a row we're not getting the All-Star game, so we don't get to see that again. Yeah.
Columbus gets screwed again.
They'll get it next year.
Yeah. I heard a rumor that the NFL was looking at ripping it off of the Pro Bowl in their vain attempt to try and make the Pro Bowl relevant.
they gotta do something, cause, like, they need, if they're gonna rip something off from the NHL, they need to do the skills competition is what they need to do. Like, I mean, like, that would be a better thing to rip off, cause nobody's gonna watch the game, but I think if you're like accuracy tests for quarterbacks or, you know, crazy trick things, but I mean, people would watch that, but, you know.
If you told me there was a field goal return competition, I would be there so hard.
But you forget this is the Pro Bowl. They're not allowed to touch each other.
Oh, yeah.
You could have a field goal kicking competition.
Yeah, they'll do that.
You can kick it from.
With extra narrow posts in the final round.
But, yeah, so I don't know particularly. I'm excited for the next episode because it will feature the Blackhawks, and even though they're losing, you know, that'll be exciting to see. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I just want to see it get more exciting. It'll be fun when the Leafs and the Red Wings play each other kind of that week before the Winter Classic. That's always like a fun game, and you kind of get to see the two philosophies come head to head, which is fun. So yeah, more of that stuff, and just more on ice stuff. I don't need any more staged dinners with Red Wings rookies that is just like terrible.
Well, I think that's part of it is that whenever it feels like they're kind of too conscious of the cameras, that ruins it. Like it feels when they're not playing to the cameras, when they're just acting, when it at least seems like they're acting like they always do, then it's entertaining, then it's exciting. But when they're just kind of playing up to the cameras, there's only so much of that I can take.
Yeah, I don't like that stuff. And then like I need less of watching Mike Babcock jog for 10 minutes while they talk about like what a great coach he is. You know, I don't need to see him jog around the arena.
They need to end the show though with just Babcock doing his Babcock stare right as it fades out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every episode should end with that. I'm a little bummed that D'Antoniuk didn't end up scoring two own goals in that Blackhawks game, and because I thought that would have been really great if he'd lost the game scoring two goals for the Blackhawks. That would have been fun to see the backlash in the locker room after that.
I've learned the D'Antoniuk thing is that, like, anytime I hear his name, I'm always sent back to the time when I'm just always sent back to Scott Hartnell, like, yelling, "Suck it, Phaneuf." And that's, like, that's to me, that's his name. Like, his name isn't D'Antoniuk, it's "Suck it, Phaneuf." It's just, I couldn't watch this show without constantly being thinking of that.
Do Maple Leaf fans like Phaneuf?
He was one of the first big stars that Brian Burke acquired, so he does get a bit of a pass, but we kind of wish he'd be a little bit more expressive and maybe not be a minus player.
Yeah.
I think he's on my fantasy team.
Is he?
Apart from the plus minus, he's been doing pretty well for me.
I am amazed that you will allow people from, you know, theoretical rivals on your fantasy team.
Toronto's not a rival.
Maybe it's a one-way thing, because when I did play fantasy a couple of years ago, I always made sure to trade Canadians, Senators, or Flyers.
Why is it Flyers, though? I mean, like, that doesn't seem like that's a rivalry there. Like, I don't like to have Penguins or, you know, mostly Penguins, anybody else I can live with.
Yeah, but I think it's because you knocked us out of the playoffs the last two times we made it.
Flyers, you know, get eliminated from the playoffs by all kinds of different teams. If we were rivals with all of them, we'd have just too many rivals.
I was going to say, if you held a grudge at every team that knocked out the Flyers, you couldn't have a fantasy team at all.
Yeah.
It'd just all be Flyers.
Just be, you know, just teams that don't make the playoffs. I'd have, like, Florida Panthers on my fantasy team.
It'd be all the non-playoff teams, the Western Conference, and the Flyers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not the whole Western Conference, though, because, like, you had the Blackhawks in 2010 and the Red Wings in 98. So there you go. I hate the Red Wings too, except I actually have a couple Red Wings. I have some guys on there. I don't hate them that much.
That would be the worst fantasy team ever, though, wouldn't it? Unless you loaded up on the, I don't know, Vancouver Canucks or something. Actually, no, you wouldn't. Then again, I probably wouldn't have Canucks anymore if I was still playing.
You wouldn't have Canucks? Why would you not? Because they lost to the Bruins?
No, just the whole, you know, the fact that they have better divers than the Canadian Olympic team does.
Yeah, no, I hate the Canucks a whole bunch.
I don't know. Yeah, it's really, I'm pretty sure I don't, I would have to be, like, really in a position, I would have to, like, somebody like Crosby or Malkin would have to fall to me, like, really low in the draft, and be like, I can't not take him, but you know, normally, as long as I don't have any Penguins on my team, I'm good.
All right, well, I think that will about do it for this bonus segment, then, all about the NHL. Maybe we'll do one in a couple weeks, maybe we'll do it after the Winter Classic, we'll do our 24/7 recap, talk a little bit about the the big game and everything like that.
We're gonna do one for the Olympics too. We're gonna do one there.
Well, yeah, we should definitely do one for the Olympics. I wish they would just cut every other team out and just do another, right away, another gold medal match between the US and Canada, because that's all I want to see.
You only get that when the Olympics are in North America though. When they're somewhere else, we get eliminated like early on. It'll be like Czechoslovakia and Sweden in the final, and like the United States and Canada won't even medal.
I just know if it's between Canada and the U.S., like, I'm going to call off work so I can watch that game live at whatever weird-ass time it's going to air, because it's in Russia. I don't even know what time it'll be on, but...
It's like, I think the time zone is about 8 hours ahead of Eastern time, but the problem is, it's in Russia, so there's no way Russia's not making the gold medal game at minimum.
Right, yeah. Not surprising, but we'll see.
That's why, to me, it's like every Olympics... Every Winter Olympics needs to be in the United States or Canada, so I can watch the hockey at the right time.
Yeah, exactly. What about how many guys do you think each from your team are going to the Olympics? I mean, just kind of roughly. I know for the Blackhawks, it's going to end up being like half the team.
I think there might be 4 or 5 Leafs, and I think most of them are probably going to end up on Team USA.
Yeah.
I'm not.
No, that's Drew Kessel for sure.
I haven't been paying attention to this as much. I mean, you've got guys, I know, like, the story for a while was that, like, Giroux was kind of slumping so much that he might not even be on the Olympic team, but he seems to have, I mean, he scored the tying and go-ahead goals tonight. He's been bouncing back lately, so he'll probably be on the team.
Well, yeah, because what, didn't he go, like, the first month of the season without scoring a goal?
He was down, but, I mean, yeah, he scored 2 tonight, and so, I mean, he's bouncing back, so.
He's coming back, yeah. I know, it helps that the Blackhawks are like a very, I mean, you know, every team is, but they have such an international presence. I mean, I don't know, between like Swedish players and everything else, I mean, there's a lot to pull from.
The Flyers have a lot of younger kind of guys, like guys who are good players, but, you
they
know,
don't have
haven't really
yet,
proven themselves. Like, yeah, they're not, especially a lot of these kids are like Canadian, like players where, You got to be really good to float all the way to the top of that pool. So,
right.
And, you know.
All right. Well, yeah. So that'll do it. Thank you, Donald and JP, for being here. I guess we'll be back in, yeah, maybe 2 or 3 weeks then. We'll do a little Winter Classic recap. That'll be fun.
All right.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
See ya.
Bye.